So we're ready to begin. Let me just look at my emails. I'm always reluctant to begin for some reason. Whenever it comes time, I find myself dissembling. Okay. Hello, welcome once again to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn, and with me is Ben Maxwell.
Hello there.
Just Ben today. Tracy is in E3, in a hotel room, I imagine.
Spending lots on room service.
No doubt, yeah. He's an infamous room service spender. and Alex is in South Africa. See you, Thifriki.
But we haven't really heard from him, so we don't know if he's dead or alive.
Diplomatic immunity. Diplomatic immunity. Have you seen that film?
I haven't, no.
Is this resonating with you?
No. Well, it is, but not in the way that you were hoping.
Do you know what film I'm talking about?
No.
Diplomatic immunity.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Well, one day you might see that film and you'll...
Yeah, I'm sure you'll recommend it to me.
If you're listening, I'm not going to say what the film is, but if you know what I'm talking about when I say diplomatic immunity, then send right in. Put a comment on the podcast story to tell us that you know what I'm talking about. Diplomatic immunity has just been revoked. Okay?
So in a two-person podcast, I'm actually left out of an in-joke. That's amazing. This is the lowest point of my life so far.
Yeah, well, you know, these things will happen. Yeah. These things will happen if you insist on being so insufferable. So yeah, it's just the two of us. I don't mind that, though. So Tracy's at E3. The big story of the week is pretty much the 3DS, but that's off our beat, so we won't be really talking about that, other than to say, looks relatively interesting. What do you think?
I'm smitten, probably too smitten, but it's the software lineup for me. There's just such a solid, massive lineup of games, possibly the biggest and best release lineup I've ever seen. And if obviously things could go wrong, things could slip, but if they're going to get even half of the games they've announced out on the near or in that month of release, it's going to be an incredible system. I don't really care so much about the 3D aspect. I'm quite glad there's a slider to switch it off, because I think that would be a bit of a novelty. But the actual, Pilot Wings, come on, Pilot Wings, and remake of Star Fox and all of the other classic Nintendo franchises, and then tons of third-party stuff, Metal Gear Solid and Ninja Gaiden, and Dead or Alive, oddly, which is a bit weird. I guess that's one way you can use 3D. But yeah, no, I'm really excited by it. I think it's going to be brilliant.
I never played Star Fox or Pilot Wings, so I don't share your enthusiasm about
this
game.
You'd like Pilot Wings 64. It's your kind of game. I think you'd enjoy it.
Would I? Well,
it's not your kind of game. It's no, because you like violent, simplistic, shallow games. This is completely unviolent, quite deep, but it's relaxing. It would relax you.
Oh, I hate relaxing games. Well, they don't relax me. They agitate me.
It's very relaxing, so you'd be very agitated.
It's usually. When we first met, you told me to play Flower.
Yes.
I went around to your house one day to see Red Dead Redemption, and you put Flower on. Kind of thought it was a bit boring. Didn't like it.
Stormed out in a rage. I wondered why you were so angry.
Yeah. It's just kind of boring.
It's not boring. It's magical.
Yeah. Well, it is a good lineup, though. I'm excited about Zelda, the new Zelda game. Well, the old Zelda game, the Ocarina of Time. They're doing a version of that. I don't know why they didn't do it sooner. But that's a good thing. That's possibly my favourite game of all time. And there are other bits and pieces. Looks good. It'll probably be out, I think, next spring. And I think it'll cost £190.
Did you take it from the article we wrote?
Well, I took it from what I said in the article.
Yeah, no, I thought it sounded familiar. I think it'll be out spring, and I think it'll cost £199.
Yeah, okay. The article that we are alluding to, we just put up a couple of days ago, and it's just all the staff speculate on whether or not they're going to be interested in it, and when they think it's going to come out, and how much it's going to cost. And then we'll see who's right. I think I'm right, obviously. So to repeat, £190 and April 2011. You really hedged your bets with spring. Spring. That's yeah. like that's 4 months.
All right. Okay. March. March then. I'm happy with March because the DSi came out in March when it was released. I think or the XL. One of them did. So yeah. Fine. March. There you go.
Okay. Okay. Fine. Well, we'll see. So that's it. That's the 3DS. We've got that out of the way. Now we can talk about iPhone stuff again.
News!
There has been, in a way, not very much, and in a way, quite a lot. Because it's been E3, so the focus has been on other platforms, really. But there has been a lot of iPhone stuff on show. Lots of game announcements, not much news. Other kind of news. So the main thing, I suppose, is that the iPhone 4 stuff is kind of kicking into gear. The tariffs are starting to get announced. The Vodafone tariff was leaked, went live temporarily. Somebody took a screen grab and then they went off again. Orange and O2 both announced their tariffs, and Three and T-Mobile and Tesco are still waiting to announce theirs.
And other than the lack of, well, what they call unlimited data, other than that, they're fairly similar, really, to the 3DS ones.
3G.
No, 3DS. Oh, this is going to get confusing. 3GS.
3DS.
Yeah, the monthly subscription you have to pay to Nintendo to play their games in 3D.
Yeah.
No, 3GS, my phone. It's because I was on 45 when I first got mine. It's not. I don't find them shocking. I know you do, though, Rob. You think they're.
I can't pay £45 a month. Outrageous. I couldn't even bring myself to pay that in rent. It's too much money.
This is why you live in the flat you live in.
Yeah, which is made of cardboard. It is. I'm going to get some data. I'm going to give you some data.
That's what prices. I like in the morning.
Data. Data.
For breakfast.
Yeah. So 24 months for 70. So I'm just reading out some. These are from the leaked Vodafone one, and I'm just going to give you some information. The most expensive is 3,000 minutes, 1 gigabyte of data. The handset free, either 16 or 32 gigabyte, and for 24 months it's £60 a month, and for 18 months it's £65 a month. Cheapest. You pay £189 for the 16 gigabyte handset, or £280 for the 32 gigabyte handset. You get 75 minutes. It's not very much. A gigabyte of data, and that costs for 24 months £25. For 18 months £30. So that's that. That'll give you an idea about prices. A lot more expensive than my current phone, which is a Nokia 5800. For which I pay £15 a month and I got a free handset. But then, if you're in the iPhone owning business, then you're used to that kind of price.
Yeah. And that's, to be fair though, proportionally, that is a third of your rent monthly. So it's quite a big portion of your outgoings.
Absolutely, it's a lot of money. It's now available to get from the Apple site, just the handset, SIM free, and it costs. £500 for the 16 gigabyte model, or £600 for the 32 gigabyte model. It's kind of pricey. £600.
Yeah.
For a phone, that's like three Xbox 360s.
But what, how much was the 3GS handset when it came out? I think it was about the same, wasn't it?
Yeah, I would have thought so. I
know the Nokia N95, that was £650 or £700 to buy. So I had that on contract before I got my first iPhone. It's just, we're so used to getting these handsets for free, well, not for free, having the price hidden in our monthly payments, that it's kind of shocking when you consider actually buying one. But yeah.
Well, there we are. So if you're interested and you wanted to know, that's how much it's going to cost. The pre-order has been pushed back a little bit to July the 2nd in the UK, even farther in the States. But you can still walk in to a store and just buy one. I think it's on the 23rd, 26th one of those dates. Soon. So there you are. Go to Pocket Gamer and you can check it out. Langdell. Boo!
That Langdell.
Oh, Langdell. 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 He's back. He was sort of vanquished. He apparently had been defeated by Moby Game because they put their Edge game back on the App Store. It had been taken off amidst legal disputes. And really intermittently it kept coming back on the App Store, this game, and then disappearing again, and it had been gone for quite a long time, and it just came back. And everyone thought, well, that must mean that Langdell is defeated.
And it went to number one as well.
Yes, it did. It went to number one. I think this whole legal dispute really helped the game commercially.
Yeah.
Made it more famous. But he went away, and he's come back, and he has published, or Edge Games has published a press release saying that they're suing EA now because of Mirror's Edge.
Yeah. He's an ambitious chap. His mum must be quite proud of him.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I suspect EA will win this particular dispute. But Edge Games, his company, does have a game called Mirrors by Edge. So, I suppose the basis of his complaint is that people might confuse Mirror's Edge, the world-famous video game franchise, with Mirrors by Edge.
Which doesn't actually exist. I mean, no one's, as far as I know, actually played this or seen it running.
Yep, absolutely. And that can only go in his favour. No one's going to go looking for Mirrors by Edge and accidentally buy Mirror's Edge. That's never going to happen. If there is a mistake, if people confuse the identity of these two games, it will always be in his favour.
Yeah.
Always. If anything, EA, maybe they should sue him. Mirrors by Edge? I don't fucking think so. We've got Mirror's Edge. You can't have Mirrors by Edge. But they just don't care because the game doesn't exist. So I don't think EA are too bothered about it. Maybe he should just back off.
Maybe he should. It's almost like he's deluded.
Yeah. There have been lots of game announcements and releases this week. Sword and Sorcery, which first turned up a few months ago. Enigmatic pixel art game, about 3 months ago it first turned up. It's coming to iPad as well as iPhone, so that looks very interesting. Do you know anything about Sword and Sorcery?
I've seen the video of it running, and I think it looks amazing. I love the graphic style, but I don't know a huge amount about it.
Yeah, no, neither do I. Well, and a bit of pieces, but yeah, it struck me as something gaming game heads will like. It's got a really interesting aesthetic.
Yeah.
And it's out soon. Super Quick Hook came out. We reviewed it, gave it an 8 out of 10. Secret of Mana has been announced for the iPhone,
which is brilliant. I prefer Secret of Mana to Final Fantasy, so I'm excited about that one. See what happens. It's a good port or not.
Final Fantasy also is announced. Final Fantasy Tactics,
yeah.
War of the Lions. Imagine that, a war involving lions.
Be like Narnia, but better. There's only one real lion in that one.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Narnia.
Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
There we go, thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, I knew that much, but I don't know. I haven't seen the film or read the book. Spider-Man Total Mayhem came out kind of by surprise, actually. It's not out, but it's been announced. A 3D Spider-Man from Gameloft, and it just turned up. Very odd. It looks good, though. Tracy has previewed it, and he says it's one of the games he's looking forward to most this summer.
They've done a Neversoft. That's exactly what Neversoft did with their 3D Spider-Man after Tony Hawk's. That came out of nowhere and was really good, so hopefully they'll repeat history.
Maybe it's the Spider-Man thing. It's his destiny to sneak. Geometry Wars, previously just out for the iPad, it was one of the surprise launch games for the iPad, is now a universal app, which means you can download it on your iPod Touch or iPhone.
Didn't know this.
Oh, well, it's true. It costs £2.99. I can hear that click indicating that you're thinking about buying it.
I'm certainly going to have a look. I loved it on my Xbox, but I don't know. I don't know about it on a tiny phone screen. Not sure.
Well, wait a while. Maybe I'll talk about it later on.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay. I'll gamble.
Yeah. Pro Evolution Soccer 2010 from Konami. That's out. And it got a 9 out of 10. It's good. It's the best football game.
Yeah, what does that mean? That's like being the best dictator. The one who killed the least amount of people.
Fewest people. I like football games. You know, I think it's going to be alright. I'm sort of looking forward to playing it, but I'm not going to, for the time being, because it costs £5.99. Making it, by £2, the most expensive football game. Currently on the App Store, and £5.99 is I paid that much for Scrabble because I thought I will get a lot of use out of that. Actually, Susie and I will play Scrabble with each other frequently. But
do you not have an actual Scrabble set at home?
No, we had Susie's parents' Scrabble board, but they took it back. Mm. So we now just use the iPad, which is fine because it's more portable and dainty.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So £5.99, yeah, it's too expensive. Mm. Sorry, guys. Just make it cheaper and I'll buy it, maybe. But I like football games. I don't like football. I hate football. It's one of my least favourite things in the world. But football games, I can get into them. I spent a lot of time at university playing football games with Alex. Wallace and Gromit is coming to iPad.
Nice.
That's from Telltale. Telltale are on a bit of a roll. They were also showing off Puzzle Agent at E3, and as we heard last week, Back to the Future and Jurassic Park are both coming out, possibly to iPad.
Although I've tried Sam and Max and now Monkey Island on the PS3, and they're both Telltale games, and they're both hugely disappointing so far. So I'm starting to lose my enthusiasm for them as developers. I'm open-minded. They can prove me wrong, but it's all
prove me wrong, Telltale.
Yeah, come on, put a good game out.
Prove me wrong. That's one of my favourite jokes from The Simpsons. when Skinner is slagging off the kids, and then I can't remember the exact circumstances, but either he realises all the kids are looking at him. I think that's it. They're in the canteen. They're in the refectory. And he's arguing with Edna Krabappel about the cuts and how it'll affect their education. Oh yeah, that's it. And she says, you're gambling with these children's future. And he says, damn it, Edna, we both know these children have no future. And all the kids just stop talking and look at him. And he goes, prove me wrong, children. Well, encouragingly. That's funny. God, I love The Simpsons. So, Wallace and Gromit iPad, yes. Puzzle Agent. Which Tracy has played, and he says it's very good. It sounds quite interesting. It's puzzles in a point-and-click adventure, like more traditional sort of puzzles.
Like Professor Layton, for instance.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like Professor Layton. It's got this, what sounds to me like quite a clever hint system, where the guy that you're playing likes to chew chewing gum, and when you need a tip, chewing chewing gum will give you the tip. But you run out if you chew too much.
That's so a nice
it's clever, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that looks good. Tracy also played Sword and Sorcery, and he says that's very good. He played Monkey Island 2. I'm extremely excited about that because Monkey Island 2 is perhaps better than Monkey Island 1. In fact, I think it's definitely better than Monkey Island 1.
That's Monkey Island 2, yeah.
Contender for my favorite game of all time. It's definitely in the top five. Great, it's just such a good game. It originally came on 11 discs, 11 3.5 inch floppy discs.
Yeah.
When I used to play it in the dark, and I had, you know, when desks, my desk now has got it actually, where you can just pull out, like it's just an extra bit of surface area, just a little pulley out bit above the drawers.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. My dad's desk had the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. My current desk got it. I love my current desk. My desk at the time had it, and I had to
I pulled out that and I just arranged all the discs on it. But I played in the dark, just to, you know, for the atmosphere. But that meant I couldn't see the discs. So whenever I had to change them, so if you went from area to area, you had to change the discs because one area would be on one disc. And, but I couldn't see them. So I had to have them arranged numerically so that I could feel and go, which number is seven? Yes, I've got seven. And I'd put that in. Oh, happy days. And it's coming out at the beginning of July, so it's not long to wait.
I got really stuck at the end. You know the bit where LeChuck keeps teleporting into the various rooms, all the different storerooms you're in? That took me ages to figure out. I just kept getting attacked by him. I got really frustrated. I got there in the end.
It can be frustrating. Got to get the ginger beer. Got to get the root beer.
Yeah.
Sorry, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Edit spoiler alert back in to before.
He played Spider-Man Total Mayhem, as I've said. He said that's very good. He played Sonic 4. Control issues. Sort of inevitably. All the Sonic games on iPhone have been a bit plagued with control issues. And Sonic 4 is no exception at this stage, although they're still working on it, so hopefully by the time it comes out, they'll have resolved that and it'll be better. But that's what he's been doing. What of all of those games? Oh, hang on. Gameloft also announced a few games. Let's just mention them, shall we? For iPhone, Hero of Sparta 2, Let's Golf 2, Dungeon Hunter 2, and Ultimate Spider-Man. So three sequels.
One.
Yeah. Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Conviction HD on iPad, this is. Prince of Persia Warrior Within HD, Hero of Sparta 2 HD, Blockers HD, The Settlers HD. Prince of Persia Warrior Within, that could be interesting because the technical issues were what kind of held it back before. Yes.
Such a lazy naming convention just to put HD on the end of your game title. The same with the N64, everything just became whatever it was, 64. I think it shows a lack of imagination on the part of developers.
Yeah, I thought it's amazing how many Super Nintendo era games were called Super something.
Yeah.
Super Tennis, Super Platform Game, Super Football. Everything was Super. Yeah, everything can't be Super.
I know. Yeah. How are you going to know what's bad if everything is super?
Yeah.
Everyone's too much. They don't realise you've got to have the bad to understand the good.
Exactly. Some of the developers should have been obliged to call their game mediocre. Mediocre hockey.
Lackluster platformer.
Exactly. One of my favourite names of all time for a fictional being is Optimus Prime, because it's just both parts of that name are awesome. They mean awesome. Optimus and Prime. It makes me laugh when I think about that name. It's just so strident. Optimus. Oh, because either one would do. You know, Optimus, that means the best. Prime, what's his surname? Prime. Ah, well, I'm now in no doubt. He clearly is the best. Yet, not good enough not to die and be replaced, disappointingly, by the relative newcomer, Hot Rod, who became Rodimus Prime.
Rodimus Prime, faintly sexual.
That makes no sense. But Rodimus isn't a word. Optimus. Well, Optimus admittedly isn't a word either. But Rodimus? What the hell? That was a big mistake.
Rodimus Prime was a better toy than Optimus. So I don't mind his name.
He was orange.
He was red with fire decals down the side. It was kind of dark, well, burgundy-ish red with then orange, yellow, and red fire.
I didn't like him. I felt betrayed by him. Basically, I think we can all agree, anyone listening who had Transformers and was around at the time will, I think, agree that the story of the Transformers was one of steady decline from the first generation of die-cast metal Transformers that were absolutely brilliant to the disastrous cars that you just upended and folded out a foot. It was just the story of decline. They just got worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
The first ones were just great. Were they metal?
I think we're confused. I think we have rose tinted specs because I don't think they were metal. I remember my jazz had metal parts, but I think it was predominantly plastic.
Yeah. Okay. But, fair enough.
Yeah.
Jazz.
But they were certainly a hell of a lot better than the ones now, which just they're not even bothering to make them look like real vehicles. They're horrible, horrible things. But then you have to pay 50, 60, 80 maybe quid for the big ones, which only adults are going to buy. And as much as I like the idea of buying Transformers again, I know that I'll transform them once and then they'll go in a box and I'll never touch them again. And my girlfriend will think I'm just a little bit sadder than she did before. So, you know, who's going to spend £80 on a Transformer to get all of those things out of it? It seems like bad value for money to me.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. No, you can't go back. It's good. It was good at the time, but...
Yeah. Anyway, so
let's follow the string back. What are we talking about? Where are we? Who are we? Optimus Prime, that's it. Transformers. There's nothing about Transformers in my list. I don't even know how we got there. Okay, that's the news. That's the news. Oh, we were talking about naming conventions. We were talking about names.
Yeah, HD 64. And then, but initially, it was the i4 game announcements. That's where we were, Rob.
Yes, that's it. And those games, the Gameloft games, apart from Spider-Man, it's just a load of sequels, really, but you know, perhaps some of them will be good. Gameloft are generally quite reliable. Hero of Sparta 2, so that's their God of War. You can talk about Gameloft games in terms of what they are clones of. So Hero of Sparta 2 is a clone of God of War. Dungeon Hunter 2 is a Diablo clone. Splinter Cell is Splinter Cell. Prince of Persia, Settlers, they're all proper franchises. And we'll see. It sounds to me like Ultimate Spider-Man is worth getting excited about. But there's a video on the site if you want to check that out as well, if you're listening. And let's move on. Let's leave the news. But we're not going into the rumour mine, because we don't have any rumours.
Yeah. No rumours. Well, there's health and safety. You can't have two people going down there alone. We got told off last time we did it, so we'll have to just move on.
The reason you can't have two people going down there alone isn't health and safety. It's logic. Oh. If there are two people down there, then they're not alone.
Yeah, this is very true.
Yeah. So let's talk about what we've been playing. In the old days, we would just make up a rumor, but it's embarrassing. There's no point.
What we've been playing!
You played anything?
I have, yeah. I've played three games this week. I have played... let me find them. I played a game called Above, which is surprisingly a jumping game where you have to jump up onto platforms. But it stands out because it's got a really nice visual treatment. It's you're a kind of salaryman, what looks a bit like a Japanese salaryman, who finds platforms hovering in the air. It looks like a really nicely drawn manga film. And you just, rather than having tilt functionality to kind of guide your character, he's constantly walking. So he goes backwards and forwards at the bottom of the level when you start, and then you can jump just by tapping the screen anywhere you like. And he'll bounce off the edge as you go up the platforms, and he'll fall off one, obviously, if he gets to the end. But you get maybe a second of time on each platform, and you can hold the screen to charge a bigger jump, so you can go up higher. But it's a bit frantic because, you know, when he gets to the edge of these platforms, you may not have charged enough, and you might throw yourself into a more dangerous position. And then there are all the usual things like platforms that make you jump higher if you land on them, and ones that fall away if you spend too much time on them. There are three levels: city, countryside, and space. It was £1.19. I think it's really good. I like it a lot. It's, you know, I don't know how many jumping games one person can fit into their life and not feel like they're wasting it. But this is possibly one to try if you haven't already done too many. You haven't overdosed. So yeah, there's that.
Okay, what's it called again?
Above.
Above. Okay.
Above. £1.19. Then Mr. Onions. So I'm learning French, so I thought that might help. It didn't, but it turned out to be quite a good game. in the vein of Trials or just any physics-based bike game ever, you're a French man on a bicycle in this slightly weird stylized 3D world. It's all 2D. You're just going left to right on a path, but the visuals are 3D. And you can accelerate with one button, with the right side of the screen, and brake with the left, and then tilt to adjust your angle. And there are various obstacles throughout the level, and the goal is to get to the end without losing any of the stereotypically French things you have in your basket on your bike, like the baguette or the cheese. And if you lose any of them, the basket starts flashing white, and you can't finish the level. You get to the end, and he grunts. But if you keep them all, and they all kind of move around with their own physics within the basket, so you've got to balance them. And it's amazingly compelling. Anything like that, any of those kind of pretend driving ones that are just based on physics and you bouncing over a landscape, I really like them. And this one's got a nice sense of humour with it as well. The visuals are charming. So yeah, Mr. McNicks.
You might like Jelly Car.
Yeah, well, I downloaded that when I was writing a story about it, and I quite liked it. I prefer Mr. Onions.
Okay.
Mr. Onions was 59 pence as well. And then the last thing I've been playing is a game called Cometen. Or Cometen, or I don't know how you'd say it. But you play a comet. And it's not... It's a bit like Zenbound, in that it's quite hard to see where the game is in it. Because all you're doing is navigating. You're in this big world... Well, universe, full of planets, and you tap the planets, and your comet guy with his big, floppy, dog-like tongue hanging out goes and orbits it, and is constantly moving. And there are what can only be described as Lucky Charms, you know, the cereal type objects orbiting some of the planets. You eat them and you build up your boost meter. You can tap any planet you like to go to it and start kind of orbiting it, and then if you've got a boost meter, you can just flick the screen and you boost off in that direction. If you eat enough, you get a super boost and you can go at light speed, and there are just planets to find in the world. So there's no real goal, it's just a kind of an experience. But it's got lovely music, beautiful kind of hand-painted looking visuals, really painterly, really charming look to it. And it's kind of surreal and relaxing. So, yeah, I like that. Although the most expensive of the bunch,
£1.79. It's from Eric Svedang.
It is.
An independent game, and he's an award-winning independent developer.
Yeah.
Just for a bit of background there.
Yeah.
Graphics look nice.
Yeah, they're lovely. It moves really smoothly as well, and when you get the super boost, you kind of... even though you're a comet and you've got no hair, it looks like you're kind of stretched and your tongue's flapping with the speed of it all. And you occasionally find things in the galaxy, in the universe, amusing things like a bowl of flowers or maybe the skull, well, skeleton. It's just this quite morbid skull of a comet, which is just, you know, the round circle with its mouth and no eye. Just little things, little details that you can come across. That's it. It's a nice game, and it's got a really lovely menu system. You just tap on the comet, and then you're in the menu system. And I think what probably dictates it, well, it demonstrates its tone best, is in the tips. You've got a few tips, like, you know, it's possible to tap planets even if they're just outside of the screen. Use the length of your swipe to control how fast you fly away from a planet, etc., etc. And then the last one, always make sure that your friends and family know how much you love them. Isn't that a nice tip?
It's very nice.
But I think how you respond to that is probably whether or not you want this game.
Rage.
Yeah, you don't want this game. It's quite relaxing, so it'd make you angry.
Yeah, as you were describing it, I was thinking, well, fine. I mean, I think the graphics do look nice. I think they look extremely nice, but games like that with no point drive me absolutely insane.
It's a toy. I mean, it's a toy, isn't it? It's not a game. I suppose there's a distinction to be made.
Yeah.
But then, as kids, we all play games with no real goal or objective.
I'm not a kid.
No, we've established that. We don't want Transformers anymore.
Well, okay, so they all sound good.
Yeah.
Comerson, and of three, which one would you recommend most?
Of the three, I think the deepest, the one with the most gameplay is Mr. Onions, because there's a lot to think about and do, and you've got a lot of control, whereas the, obviously, Comiton is just a drifting simulator, and the jumping one, you just tap the screen. And there's probably more challenge in Above, but I would go with Mr. Onions for grin factor.
Okay. Fine. So this week, I've been playing Geometry Wars.
Interesting.
I'll tell you about it. Yes. I haven't played it on the iPad yet, although I will, because it's a universal app. So for comparison purposes, I think that's important. Tracy gave it a 7 out of 10 when he reviewed it, because it sort of works, but there are control issues. The thing about it is, it's not as good as it is on the 360, because it was designed for the 360, so the way the controls work are quite important. I think this is the game is a real distillation of a certain kind of gameplay, and it involves having complete mastery over your controls and what you're doing. So anything that limits that sort of undermines the game, and that's definitely the case. It's not that it doesn't work on iPod Touch, it's just that it's not the same game in a way as it is on 360. But it's still pretty good. The graphic, so if you're not aware of what it is, it's basically a twin stick shooter, which is quite common on iPhone, but they're sort of new to the world and quite unusual on the 360. It's a twin stick shooter where you use one stick to use the left stick to move your ship around, and you use the right stick to fire. As long as you're holding down a finger over where the right stick is, you'll just permanently fire, and so you just move it around all, you know, in the 360 circle to decide where it's shooting. So you have to coordinate. It's a bit like, people have described it to me as rubbing your tummy and patting your head. You've got to control these two inputs at once, shooting and steering. It takes place on a kind of a grid, like a board kind of boxed in at the sides, with a grid on it. It's called Geometry Wars because it's everything in it is sort of geometrical. It's kind of neon, like a bright neon look. It's quite common. If you've ever played the game Orbital on iPod Touch, which is a completely brilliant game, that takes a lot from Geometry Wars in terms of its look. So I haven't played the iPad version. I've seen the screenshots, and it looks to be a pretty good version of the 361. The iPod Touch version is a lot simpler, and I think that detracts from it a little bit as well. It doesn't have the kind of brightness. It doesn't have the luster of the proper version. And there's other things like when you go through a gate, this kind of explode, this ring of fire kind of comes out from your ship in a growing circle. And it's just like this kind of orange line, and it doesn't glow, and it doesn't have, and I feel like the iPod Touch is capable of more. I don't know why it looks so simple. It really looks like almost like a Spectrum game or something. So in terms of presentation, it's actually a little bit disappointing. And there are other things, like in the 360 version, and I shouldn't be comparing it so much to the 360 version, but I am here. It's happening. Deal with it. In the 360 version, like the grid is kind of, like, it's affected by gravity. So if certain baddies turn up, then they get denser in volume, and it means that the level kind of sucks in towards them, because they have gravitational force. And I haven't witnessed it yet in this game. So in terms of presentation, it's actually not particularly exciting. But the gameplay is more or less there. It has another mode, has an extra mode. The 360 version has 6 modes. And this one has 7. The extra mode is called titans, and that involves there being big baddies, and you shoot them and they become smaller. A bit like the bubbles in Pang. And that's it. That's Geometry Wars. Anything? Any questions about Geometry Wars? I don't feel like I've explained it very well.
I don't have any questions, but then I know the game really well. So,
yeah.
It sounds overall like it's a bit of a disappointment compared to the original, which seems like an unfair comparison, but at the same time, it was designed specifically for one console, and porting it across, I couldn't imagine how it would work control wise.
Oh, I can explain that then. So the controls are, so it is a twin stick shooter. You can put your fingers anywhere on the screen and control it that way. That's kind of a problem as well. Your fingers inevitably obscure part of the screen, and it's quite important to be able to see it all. So that is a problem. But yeah, you just put your left thumb somewhere on the left side of the screen, and that'll allow you to steer your ship, and you put your right thumb somewhere on the right hand side of the screen. So you can move them around. I guess the idea is, so your thumbs aren't fixed to one point, so if you fly the ship down into the bottom right corner, you can move your thumb up to the top right corner so that it's not in the way, but it's a bit fiddly, it's not ideal. But that's it. The point you were making is the right point, that it's a game that was designed. It's a game whose controls are so crucial to playing it well and playing it properly that porting it to a completely different control scheme is very problematic. Like, it would work on the PlayStation 3. It would work on, it might even work on a PSP with the analog stick, just about. But I think an iPhone is a little bit too far. If I was reviewing it, don't know, maybe a 6 or a 7. Tracy gave it a 7. The iPad version, by all accounts, is much better, but it's a universal app, so if you have an iPad and an iPhone, you don't need to buy two separate games. But it's okay, but it's not great. That is Geometry Wars.
I don't think I'm going to download it anymore.
No, don't do it. I've really talked myself out of it. I was quite positive about it when I started, and then as I talked, I realised that I didn't like it very much. That was weird. It was like when I talked about the iPhone case the other week.
Yeah.
I love it. It's brilliant. You can't get it out of the thing, and it's really... Oh, no, I don't like it. Yes, so that's that. I've run out of things to say. There's nothing else to say, is there?
That's pretty much it. I think we've covered the news. There are no rumours. Well, I'm leaving. I'm going to be on the podcast, obviously, but this is my last day as an intern, so there won't be any more news pieces from me. But I don't think that's going to leave people hugely traumatised.
No one cares about your news pieces, Ben.
Exactly.
Get over it.
Exactly.
But you'll be writing other things.
I will. Yes, I will.
Should be still be around.
Reviews, and chatting about them on the podcast.
Yes, so you'll... So nothing really is changing.
No, not from the perspective of a podcast listener.
So that was kind of a pointless thing.
Yeah, in retrospect, I realise I've made a mistake by bringing that up. But I was trying to save you from your lack of subject matter. I did my best. I realise I failed. But I like going out on a low note, so there we go.
Good. Well, you've certainly achieved that. Apologies for my downbeat, defeated air this week. It's because I don't feel well. It's not my fault. Go to Pocket Gamer and read everything. It's good, particularly now. This is the best time to get involved. So much happening. The Nintendo 3DS, you can read all about that. And the iPhone 4, you can read all about that. There's going to be a lot of content about the iPhone 4 in the coming weeks as it is released. There'll be a review. There'll be all kinds of stuff. Wow, it's going to be wild. So keep reading. And that's it. Go to Pocket Gamer, give us a rating on iTunes if you like. Apologies if you're one of the people who's having trouble downloading the podcast through iTunes. We are looking into it. Someone is. I'm not, but someone is. And hopefully that'll be resolved at some point. And aside from that, it's Tracy should be back next week. It's goodbye from me.
Farewell from I. I miss you already.
Yeah. You said that as if someone else was going to say goodbye after you. Like, it kind of.
Yeah, it's like the there's that note you can play, as a type of chord you can play that is left open. It's really frustrating if you're listening to a song. If you end on that note, it just annoys you.
Should we end the podcast on a chord, a chord with a note of expectation?
I think what we should do